Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I just have a really special guest for you today, Wayne Peterson, former U.S. diplomat, author of Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings, public speaker, ageless wisdom teacher, lecturer around the world, president of the Society for the Advancement of Consciousness. And there's something about the Fulbright that I can't read that I wrote here. And but I want to just thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you very much for having me here.
Well, I just found out about you, Wayne, from my good friend Judith Conrad, because you were on her television show in Mount Shasta. And I haven't read your book, and so be prepared for some maybe dumb questions.
That's no problem.
So do you want to kind of give a sketch of how you came to be doing what you're doing now?
Yes. Well, the history goes back a way, back at least 25 years. And at that time, I was still employed in Washington, D.C. by the federal government. And the reason you heard about the Fulbright Scholarship Program in here is that it is a program run by the U.S. government and funded by Congress, of which I was a director for a number of years before I retired. Before that, I had a career in the U.S. diplomatic service and was overseas for a number of years. So it was about 25 years ago, back in very close to 1982, when I came in contact with this spiritual being that we refer to as Maitreya. And he's been talked about certainly by writers such as Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and Helena Rorick, all who published many, many books on the topic of the spiritual hierarchy, of which Maitreya is the head. And so that's really how I came into this.
So Maitreya actually started appearing to you when you were still a U.S. diplomat?
Right. It was at the time when I was still working in Washington, D.C. at that time.
Uh-huh.
And naturally, I, as an official with the government, I could not speak publicly on any issues outside of my work unless I had a full script and sent it to a committee at the Department of State who would approve it. And I knew that I could not do any public speaking talking about a spiritual being materializing in a body who claims to be the reappeared Christ. I knew that wasn't going to work.
Right up there with Roswell, huh?
Exactly. So I had to be very, very cautious. However, I did some speaking to small groups that requested it, and the first small group was from the Vatican.
Woo-hoo!
And the man who I had dinner with some of his people was Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who is today Pope Benedict. So I spoke to him about 3 hours about Maitreya as the reappeared Christ, and he was a very good listener, but that was something I could not advertise. And it's interesting that the man I took with me, who gave me a lot of support, but he refused to say anything, was a top advisor to President Clinton. And of course, he didn't want to have his name attached to knowing that he also had visits from Maitreya. So I was the one who was always pushed out in front, you know. I was willing to embarrass myself. And, of course, when I retired, I wrote a book about all of this, and had it published, and then I did have to go out and sort of do a road show and speak about it quite openly.
Well, Wayne, during that time when, you know, this other person was getting visits from Lord Maitreya, did he appear when you were with someone else who was a leader or at the same time? So,
well, I think it's we can talk about some of the many times when I gave public lectures that he would actually appear in the lecture hall. And some people would see him and other people would see nothing. And that still goes on today.
It goes on about everything, not just
yeah. I'm thinking about not too long ago, I was invited to do a joint lecture with a friend of mine, Dr. Walter Simkew, who likes to talk about reincarnation that he's doing research on. And he invited me to do half of the show on Maitreya. Well, I'm sitting on the stage while my friend Walter is talking, and I see Maitreya standing in the middle of the aisle. And I'm wondering why no one's looking at him, because he's just standing directly in the middle of the aisle looking at us. But I had two friends in the audience that I had just recently chatted with, and they were looking at him. And I realized they could see him. And he would occasionally look at them, and they would smile at each other. So I knew that there were a couple of people. But when it was over, the two ladies came up to me and said, "Was that one of the masters standing in the aisle?" I said, "It wasn't only one of the masters of wisdom. It was Lord Maitreya himself, the head of the hierarchy of all the masters." And they said, "Well, we thought so, because he was speaking to us telepathically." But there was only one other person in the audience that actually claimed to have noticed him. So it's interesting that it can be so clear to some people and absolutely unseen by others.
Well, you know what, though, Wayne? We've been in the business of, "I didn't see that."
Yes.
You know, we've done that. We have been told that when we were children, "Oh, that was your imagination."
Yes.
I had a friend that was saw angels when she was little, and her mother beat the shit out of her for lying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we are waking up, and the more people wake up, see, I believe that these ascended masters are. You said this to me before when we talked earlier, is that Lord Maitreya is going to appear on television, and then then people will be willing to say, "Yes, I know him. I have been communicating with him." But that
right.
There seems to be so much pressure to not experience those things. Why is that?
Well, there are so many people in the world who have actually seen him and spoken with him, but there's only a few public leaders that actually will say something, and one is Nelson Mandela.
Woo-hoo!
And I have a chapter in my book, and it's about Nelson Mandela in prison in South Africa, and the last white president of South Africa, who we remember his name is de Klerk, they communicated with one another by letters that were delivered by Maitreya between the two men, because they didn't want this communication really to be known by anyone, as they were sort of trying to figure out a way that they could change the government there. And just last year, I had a note from the last white president of South Africa, de Klerk, who said he found my book in South Africa, and he was quite amazed at this story about him and Nelson Mandela, and them knowing Lord Maitreya, who they see as the reappeared Christ. He said, I don't know how you knew this information, but the way you wrote it in your book is exactly the way it happened. And Nelson Mandela also spoke at the State Department when I was still working for the U.S. government, and he said, you know, the Christ reappeared in his jail cell and said, Nelson, write these letters to, the government of South Africa and begin to negotiate your freedom, and you're becoming the first black president of South Africa. So he is one, and Mikhail Gorbachev of Russia is another who has spoken out.
Woo!
And, in fact, a couple of years ago, I was having dinner on my birthday with some friends here in the Las Vegas area. And just as dinner was ending, I heard Maitreya's voice say, as he does sometimes, he said, finish dinner up quickly. I want you to go upstairs and stand in this spot. And he gives you a visual picture in your mind. He said, there's somebody very important I want you to meet. So I took a couple of friends with me, and I think they were very skeptical of what I was telling them.
Oh, waves at it again.
I went upstairs, found the spot, and my friends kept saying, well, how long do we have to wait here? And I said, Maitreya said, just a minute or two. And suddenly, I felt somebody bump into the back of me. I turned around. It was Mikhail Gorbachev of Russia with his daughter in the Secret Service. And we had a very lovely conversation because he's one of the few real public leaders that doesn't mind speaking out about. He knows the fact that the Christ has reappeared in the world and that he's spoken to him and has gotten political advice from him.
Well, I just want to say I want to invite the Lord Maitreya and the entire hierarchy, I can say it, hierarchy,
yes,
to be on Miracles Happen, because this is what I've asked for. And you know what I picture? Sort of this Ascended Masters appearing on Earth, and they can appear as they, however they wish, right?
They can. I think most people don't understand that there are actually five kingdoms on the planet. So we know the mineral kingdom and the vegetable kingdom, which is the second, the animal kingdom is third, and the human kingdom is the fourth kingdom. But there's a fifth kingdom, and they have always been here as long as humanity has been on this planet, and they are here to guide us and direct us and make sure we don't make any critical mistakes. But they have been hidden from us for a very long time. Some people say it's been over 100,000 years since they last worked openly with humanity. And now they have decided to return because they want to change the way we are doing things on this planet. They believe it's time to push the consciousness of humanity into a very new direction, and in order to do that, they will have to contact us directly. So many of them have taken on some form of a physical body that we can see.
And they can also come and go from that body at will and appear in different ways.
Yes, some can and some cannot, because some have actually taken on a flesh and blood body. They have been actually born into a few families. But the higher ranking members, especially Lord Maitreya, has taken on what we call a body of light, meaning that this body is very etheric in the sense that it can vanish instantly, and at the same time he can make himself appear to be just a normal flesh and blood body, although it's not. This allows him movement. He can go from one point on the planet to another in a nanosecond, and he's demonstrated this body in Africa, in Nairobi, Africa, back in 1988. CNN played this on the news for, I think, almost a week. And it was in the front page of some European newspapers, especially the Times of London, because they had a reporter there who took some photographs. And the man simply materialized in front of 6,000 people into this dense body and spoke to them for about 15 minutes or so, and then his body dematerialized into thin air just as he had come. But before he disappeared, they did take some photos of him. I think people were so shocked when CNN News said, could this be the Christ reappeared, that it seemed so fantastical that they just sort of dismissed it. But in fact, it was him.
I would sure like to get those pictures. I would sure like to see those pictures. Did anybody do a video?
There is also a video, but I think the only country it was ever actually played in was in New Zealand. I believe CNN owns the right to that film, but they'll probably never show it until he's on TV. I think they're waiting for that moment, and then they will bring out this rather old film that was shot in London, because London is his base of operation.
Huh. Well, I guess I'm picturing it as being sort of like this is, prime time on all networks. This is a bulletin from the Ascended Master's octave.
Oh, absolutely.
Listen
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
And are you picturing something that way? Do you have any previews?
Well, many years ago, while I was still in the diplomatic service, I kept having these dreams, and it was the same dream played over and over and over. And I couldn't understand what was going on, because why do you have a dream and it repeats itself?
Because you've been going, duh.
Yeah, exactly. But in this dream, of course, there's this man who introduces himself to me and is speaking in a way that doesn't really make much sense to me, like saying, humanity has put me on a pedestal so high that no one can reach me. And everybody speaks for me, but I'm not really allowed to speak for myself, but the day is soon coming when I'm going to speak to the whole world, and they're going to be very amazed at what I have to say. And then I saw this huge bank of microphones and TV cameras and all the chairs set up for this thing. I didn't know what it was until years later. I also heard Benjamin Krem, who's a London resident and an artist, and he was speaking about Maitreya's coming out and sort of described this scene of where Maitreya was going to speak to the whole world on TV. And then I began to put, you know, the picture together and say, I think I've already visualized this. But it's obviously going to be a very interesting moment. And also, if you know anything about the Catholic visionaries in the little town of Medjugorje up there in what was former Yugoslavia in Bosnia and that area, there's a Croatian village in Bosnia we call Medjugorje. And for almost 25 years now, it began with this group of children seeing an image of the Madonna. And she started telling them of this great event. She doesn't say what the event is, but she said there is this magnificent event that's going to change the world, and on one day, everybody in the world is going to see this, and we're going to give you a 3-day warning, and then the world is going to change. And if you're not prepared for it, well, then there's nothing you can do. You're never going to be prepared. But that is the Catholic Church's version of this event.
Well, it's sort of like all things made new in the twinkling of an eye.
That's right. That's exactly it.
Well, something else I've been praying for and asking for and decreeing for, and you know the two times of the year where there are Ascended Master conclaves in the beginning of January and the beginning of July where the karmic board meets, and they decide what would be best, you know, for the planet.
Yeah.
And I have been asking for this 3-day epiphany where everyone has everything set aside that keeps them from feeling safe with seeing God.
Uh-huh.
And that everyone looks at, on the face of God and feels and knows the face of God in everyone and everything else. And it's just 3 days of being bathed in the love of God and what that really is. And then, and have shown how, being shown how they can keep that ecstasy and also given tools to clear as much as possibly can be done in that 3 days so that they can stay in that state, and also being shown what it will take for them to come back to that.
Yeah.
And then I don't think we could ever go back to business as usual.
No, that's the whole idea of changing everything to a point that we won't want to go back to the old ways. I mean, historically, we can look at our world, and as all we see is conflict and war and suffering and famine and disease and all these things that have been a real plague on humanity. And that is all going to change. We're going into a totally different world, and this is a very unique opportunity. It's not as if the fifth kingdom that has been watching over humanity has thought, well, everything is all right for the moment. It has a lot to do with astrological events also. There's now an opening, because all of this is going to take a great deal of spiritual energy. And that energy has to come to us from outside this planet. So they have to know the astrology of all of this. And for those people who have been talking about the Mayan calendars, well, there's a number of these cycles that are all coming to an end right now. And in the next few years, it's not just the Mayan calendar cycle that comes to an end. There are greater cycles and smaller cycles. And for the first time in human history, all these cycles are coming to an end at the same time, meaning it's possible now to put an end to much of the pain and suffering that we've been into. I think the Hindus call it the end of the Kali Yuga, the dark time, you know, the bad times. And now we have a chance to change everything. And with the help of the Fifth Kingdom and Lord Maitreya, we can channel new enlightening energy into this planet that will change the consciousness of every human being. And they will want to do a major change, and they will want to live in a different way. And the fact that we are asking for it, then the Fifth Kingdom can deliver. Because if humanity doesn't want this, it cannot happen. It's not going to be forced on us. It is something that we have to understand, that we have a choice. And as Maitreya says, he knows in the hearts of humanity, they want this change.
I believe they do. I believe they do. And, you know, sort of how I have seen this is that many, many, many Ascended Masters are appearing. I think that's the 144,000.
Yes.
Are appearing to walk on Earth as Christ did. And in doing that, it awakens the Christ in everyone else. And I see things like, when I've meditated on this, I see things like Maitreya or Mother Mary Kuan Yin being like yard duty teachers on the recess playground. And maybe she'll see two world leaders there, and she'll take them by the hand and say, boys, now you know you don't want to run your country like to prove you have the biggest dick and you can pee the farthest. No more pissing contests. We're not going to have that.
Right.
we're going to start running the country so they really serve the, and honor the well-being of all life, and we're going to do it with diplomacy, and you're going to behave yourselves and play nice on this playground and really serve people. And these two little boys, I see them sort of rubbing their toe in the dirt and being real ashamed and sort of going, yes,
well,
sister.
Well,
and
you know,
doing
you,
it.
You put your finger on something that's very, very important, and that is truly freedom for the human race. For too long, the human race has been in bondage to either political groups, religious groups, family groups. I mean, there's been a lack of freedom up and down our structure.
Yeah, we need freedom now.
And so if humanity has the freedom to make a choice, they will make the right choice. They won't be bound into this position any longer. Even in our country, even in the democracy we have, we do not have the freedoms that we should have.
Well, yeah, duh. And the other thing I see the yard duty teacher is saying, now, you are going to go immediately and write 100 times, I rescind the Patriot Act. I bring back the writ of habeas corpus. I give back freedom to people. I stop spying on them. I start spending money on uplifting and feet.
I don't think it's by accident that we have a reminder of what the Founding Fathers tried to do for us when it came to freedom. The John Adams series on TV reminded people again that they were very, very concerned about how to give freedom and allow the Constitution to protect the citizens to give them the ultimate freedom. Washington, you know, Jefferson, Adams, all were very, very concerned, and all Americans should look back to that time and say, what happened since then? You know, what happened to all of our freedoms?
Well, we call for it restored to us, and we call the Ascended Masters to speak to these kids on on the playground and tell them what we're going to play now.
Yes.
And I also feel that we've come to a time where those things that don't serve and that are, you know, like perpetrating discord, disharmony and impurity on the powers of nature and forces of the elements, that the things that have been anti-life, those things are going to fall
yes,
of their own weight.
We simply have too many artificial divisions in humanity, and very often it is societies and organizations that want to maintain that disruptive, divisive element for their own selfish purposes. There's a lot more reason for humanity to feel united than divided. And this unity process has to begin to demonstrate. It was demonstrated, if you remember, after World War II. For the first time in the history of the world, the United States, which was the only nation that wasn't truly physically harmed by the war in the sense that we didn't have bombers bombing our cities. We were about the only economy that was still intact in the world. And what did we do? We created the Marshall Plan, the plan to restore an economic and a democratic structure to Japan and Germany. That was unheard of in the history of the world, and it was showing that with the right attitude, humanity could begin to get rid of this divisiveness, and is what it did is it helped everyone. The redevelopment of Germany and Japan after the war and the other nations of Europe were of benefit to the U.S. And now there's a number of people, as you may have heard, asking for a global Marshall Plan, and there are many world leaders now jumping on that bandwagon and saying, look, what the U.S. did to help the Europeans and the Japanese, we can now do to the poor countries of the world. It's possible. So I like some of the thinking that is going on. There's a lot of good people in the world who are being imaginative and trying to figure out ways how we as a race of people on this planet can restore some decency at all levels to individuals and better their lives. And the masters certainly are going to help us in that.
Oh, I am so glad. I am so glad. I want to give the phone numbers in case people want to call and have questions for you, Wayne. It's 877-876-5227. And the second number I can't read. I think it's 888-815-9756. That's for U.S. and Canada. Wayne, do you have a timeline about the Maitreya appearing on television?
Boy, I wish I did. I am told that only 3 people in the world know that timeline. And as I mentioned earlier, the Catholic visionaries in Medjugorje said that they would give humanity a 3-day advanced warning. So that's about all I know as far as an advanced warning. Nevertheless, as we are now in an interesting cycle, that this year, in January 2008, we have begun an 8-year cycle of intense change. This is the difficult part. When we begin, we can't really have change until we see some of the old dysfunctional institutions in our society began to collapse, so that people will say, wait a minute, what's wrong here? Well, what we cannot use is going to begin to collapse before our eyes. And we're going to see a need to build new structures, new societies, new institutions to deal with a new sort of world that we're going into. So the breaking down of the old structures, everything from our social institutions, our politics, our economics, are all going to begin to fade before our very eyes. And that has begun in January 2008, and I think we already have an inkling of what we've seen in the last few months of this year. Well, it's going to intensify, and this is going to bring humanity to the point of view that, yes, we do need change, and we do need help, and we will collectively call upon that help from the spiritual hierarchy of what we call the Masters of Wisdom, these beings that are really here to help and direct us to do the right thing.
Thank you, Wayne. I think we have a caller.
Okay.
Do we have a caller? Do we have a caller, or is that our 2 minutes, Don? Hello? Or we lost them. Sorry,
okay.
We lost our caller.
So I think we're right in the midst of it now. So it's between now and the next 6-7 years that they are certainly going to have to appear. And I would think they would do it earlier rather than later.
Today would be good.
As you know, right in the middle of this 8-year period is the year 2012, which many people have talked about as a critical year because of Mayan calendar dates again. Whether that has much to do with it or not, I don't know, but this is certainly a period now when we've really gone into a time we have to really begin to think about what change we need to make.
Well, also, I think people need to go inside. Like, one of the things I heard a couple weeks ago was six that they closed 600 Starbucks in California or something. And I probably don't have the figures right because I don't watch the news or anything like that, but it was just something I heard. And I thought, okay, what would I do if I lost my job there? Well, first of all, I think it's a good idea to quit paying $4 for a cup of caffeine. I think it's a good idea. And I was just thinking about you saying, you know, things dissolving before our eyes. And I was thinking maybe if I lost my job there and I had been running on caffeine, that I would look inside and say, all right, I am present. I think we have our caller, but I just want to finish this.
Probably from Starbucks.
What is it you would like me to do now? Obviously, that door closed. What would you like me to do? How would you like to fulfill?
Iris, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Who is this?
This is Joanna.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. Have you been listening?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Do you have a question for Wayne?
Yes. I was wondering what your perception, Wayne, is. If Maitreya does come as predicted, what will his role be? What do you see him actually doing in the world?
Good question. I see him as sort of an advisor, somebody who will be able to give us a hint at what we could do. In other words, very often when we do things, we don't have a clear vision of what we want to achieve. And of course, he's going to make it clear that we can have a society where everyone can have decent housing, enough food to eat, the right kind of medicine, the right kind of education that we need, and not have to worry about it as we do now. As we know, there are many people around the world don't even have the basic services that we take for granted in the wealthier countries. So the first thing Maitreya has to do is tell us that we can, without any major disruption to our lives, we can allow everybody in the world to have the basic necessities of life. And we need not have people starving to death, as we do now. About 25,000 people every day die from lack of proper food, which is, an incredible number. And, of course, our international figures talk about these things, and they have meetings on these things, but they never seem to quite solve the problem because we're not organized. We don't have the unity, and that has to be part of it. Maitreya certainly has to tell us how we have to think beyond our own national boundaries and how we have to be able to deal not only through a United Nations, but a united everything in doing this. Perhaps the Global Marshall Plan is one of those ways that is going to be very effective in linking us up internationally. They will not, I think the point is that neither Maitreya or the masters are going to do this work for us. We have to do it ourselves.
Right.
If humanity doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. But they're going to be sort of the cheerleading squad that prods us on and saying, yes, this is possible, yes, you can do it. If you need directions, you can come to us, but humanity has to do the work.
The only thing that comes to me is that the Dalai Lama and many high-level beings are already advising this kind of action, this kind of humanity and unity. But they're, like you say, it hasn't been really effective as yet. What Maitreya, if he comes, is not going to be in a position of power. Is that correct? So he would be another advisor to do these things, but it just would remain to see if they would actually follow.
That's true. He will not be in any position of power, although he's very, very interested in the international political scene. What he brings that no one else can bring to this is a very specific energy that has never before been on planet Earth for humanity to experience. We do not quite know how that energy is going to play out psychologically on the minds of humanity, but as we know, these energies all have an effect on the human mind and the human psyche. He can release this energy, which is going to bring a synthesis, a unifying effect, and cause our minds to think in those terms. This is something no political leader or spiritual leader on the planet at this time can do, but Maitreya can do it. And this is one of his, I would say, his greatest assets, is channeling through himself energies out there in the greater universe that cannot reach us yet, but he will channel that, as well as a heavy dose of willpower, meaning an energy that is going to inspire us all to work for this and not get lazy. And that's going to make all the difference.
That's really good. That's really good.
Well, you know how humanity has all the wonderful philosophies. You know, we've been, every religion in the world has been telling us we should be kind to one another, give to make sure others don't die, so forth and so on. But it's a philosophy, and we don't have the willpower to actually make it happen. And that is what's going to change.
Yeah, I've had the feeling of, just like you and Iris, that that the things that are no longer right and good for our society are kind of like the Berlin Wall. They look so solid and so real, and yet within one day they can disappear, or the energies can change at least.
We'll have a better planet
to live on.
Exactly. And it is said that Maitreya came into our physical world back in 1977. And if you remember, that is the time that the world really began to change in a significant way. 1977 was the year that President Sadat of Egypt went to Israel and talked peace and opened diplomatic relations. And shortly after that, the Soviet Empire allowed the Berlin Wall to collapse. Nobody thought this was going to happen in their lifetime. And then Nelson Mandela, without a civil war, becomes president in South Africa.
I'm going to keep listening, but I have to personally go. So thank you so much for answering the questions, and I'll keep listening to the show. So blessings. Okay, take care.
Thank you, Joanna.
Bye.
But, when I went into the diplomatic service many years ago, the world was a very different place than it is today. I went to Brazil on my first diplomatic assignment, and when I was there, there was only one country in all of Latin America that you could really call a democracy, and that was very little Costa Rica in Central America. Everybody else either had no choice at the ballot box, or you had some military dictatorship running it. Today, that is very different. It's really only Cuba that has the only dictatorship left in Latin America. And much of that same thing has happened around the world. I mean, when I went into the diplomatic service, Maoists were in power in China. They were a closed society. Well, look at them today. A very, very different China, trading with the world, being active in the world. And so it's not just the Soviet Union, which voted itself out of power, which seems absolutely amazing to us now. The entire world has changed dramatically, and perhaps we Americans don't feel it so much because nothing dramatic has yet happened in our own country. If we were South Africans or Russians or Germans, we would have felt this impact very, very definitely. But because we're so isolated with big oceans on either side of us and economically a superpower, We haven't felt those changes, but I think we begin to feel those changes since January with the falling stock market and the housing market problem. We're beginning to feel that we're not as powerful as we may have thought.
Well, let's go back to the thing about elections. As far as I'm concerned, the last two presidential elections were a hostile takeover. That wasn't accurate information. That's not what we voted. And I mean, and it was finished by Fox when all of that illegal stuff was going on. Then Fox just finally announced Bush as the winner. And I just want to hear what you have to say about that. What my attorney says about that.
Well,
I'm sorry, we have a caller.
Yes, we
but,
do. Thank you.
Hello?
Hello, this is Bonnie Elnis.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. Is this Iris?
Yes.
Oh, I was hoping you could announce the name of Wayne's book and how people can get it. Do you have that information?
Well, why don't you give it? Are you there? Bonnie?
I'll just let you go ahead and do that.
I think I can say very easily that the book is easily available on Amazon.com, of course. Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings. Many bookstores have carried it in the past, and of course bookstores can still order it. It's interesting that it's now out in many European languages also. So we have a German version, a French version, and Dutch, and even Slovenian. And it's being translated right now into Finnish and Italian. So I think we might see it out in a number of languages in the near future. The German version did extremely well because the past president of Germany read the book and wrote a very positive article about it, and it was printed up in a very, very popular German magazine. So the German version got a lot of press, and of course I was invited to speak in Germany a few years ago, and some of the largest audiences I think I've ever had were in Berlin, where we had a 1,000-seat auditorium, and 45 minutes before the lecture, it was already standing room only. So somehow, as I mentioned earlier, if you were a Russian, a German, or a South African, you understood what this change I was talking about really means. So the Germans certainly were very excited about understanding what this change in their life with the coming down of the Berlin Wall has meant to them, and why it was happening. So it depends on the country that you're in on how you interpret these events.
Oh, well, sure. Can people get your... What is your website?
Have a website. Yes, it's just WaynePeterson.com.
Peterson, S-O-N,
yes. And there's information on the book and some other things on that website.
And how people can book you for lectures and...
Yes, I do. In fact, I just came back from a weekend seminar in Mount Shasta where I spoke. And I do this occasionally. I have a few things coming up in October. The first week of October in Los Angeles, there is what is called the ISIS conference, and I'm speaking several times over that four-day weekend. I believe it's October 2, 3, 4, and 5, and ISIS has its own website, IISIS, for the Institute for the Integration of Science, Intuition, and Spirit. Sometimes I wonder if I'm going to remember all that.
That was very good. You said a mouthful there.
Yeah, exactly. But it's sort of clever, using the old Egyptian goddess Isis name by simply adding another I. But the focus has been on the 64 Masters of Wisdom and reincarnation and evolution, which is all necessary to really understand what is happening at this time. And I'm a board member on that organization also. So this is the first conference we've had that's actually open to the general public. So I'll be speaking about the 64 Masters there and some other topics as well.
Well, thank you, Wayne. And also, can you tell people how to get a hold of your publicist if they want to have you on other shows?
The best way, I suppose, is going into my website, and there's a friend of mine who manages that. And
very well, I might add.
Yeah, there are ways to contact him, and he lets me know.
Oh, I thought Bonnie Elnett handles that for you.
And Bonnie works with that right here, exactly.
Okay. Well,
she's in the Las Vegas area. And in fact, I should have memorized her phone number, and I haven't.
But they can get it on your website, right?
Yes, that is one way of doing it.
Well, Wayne, what would you give people if you could give them just one gift?
Well, I think to keep an open mind. It's not that they have to believe the story of what I'm telling them until, of course, Maitreya appears himself. But what they can do to help at this time is simply talk to their family, their friends, their neighbors, and say, you know, I've heard this show, and I heard this man discuss the spiritual hierarchy and how we're going to get help from the spiritual hierarchy to change our planet and the way we live. And what do you think? Do you think this is possible? Have you heard others speak about this? In other words, just the idea of getting it into the consciousness or the mind belt of humanity helps tremendously. And it's a positive message, as we've talked about earlier, that this is about a positive transformation of our planet, that the spiritual kingdom has stepped down, taken on a physical form that we can see directly, and they're going to be with us for a very long time, and we're going to all go into this, what I would say, is the golden age of humanity, and that's a good story.
Well, and further, I would say that we're anchoring in the Ascended Masters octave as the true kingdom, restoring Earth to its Earth used to be a sparkling jewel.
Yes.
A sparkling, pure jewel of light. And that was just rejoicing.
Yes, it's all about right human relationships. And that, of course, ultimately is what love is all about, is establishing right human relationships, which brings us all kinds of good things, and including world peace.
Yeah, yay for that. Well, so, you know, it's so refreshing to hear from the Ascended Masters things that good things are coming, that wonderful things are coming, that people will have their heart's desires of everybody being fed and clothed and housed and protected and honored and loved.
Yes.
That is what is coming. That's very, very, very good news.
Absolutely.
Very good news.
And it's good news that you allow me to use your radio time to get this message out.
And, well, I just want to get on Maya Treya's list. I want an interview with Maya Treya. Is that our 2 minutes, Don?
Hello?
I believe that's our two minute warning. So I want to tell.
Hello?
Take our caller real quick then.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is, I'm calling to say hello to Wayne Peterson from Alaska. This is Rilo.
Hello.
Hello, I was hoping Wayne. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Pretty good.
This is pretty incredible. I'm glad I got Bonnie's email. I was thinking it would be very nice if you could come up to Ketchikan.
Uh-huh. I've never been there.
I think
and
you'd like it.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah. So I will keep in touch, and it was just really nice listening to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
okay,
you,
bye-bye.
Ryan. Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, well, we have to wind it up, Wayne. So will you come back? And I promise to read your book and be more well-informed next time.
Well, I'd, yes, love to come back and love to take some more serious questions from you.
Well, I am thrilled and delighted and I have to say I was expecting this too.
Good.
Because I was really praying and asking for it.
Well, it's up to all of us to get this message out before the masters actually appear on TV, because simply by doing that we actually gain a lot of very positive karma for ourselves. So now is the time to actually speak out and do some good things for yourself.
Well, just, I want to, my dearest heart's desire is to see all life totally ascended and free and living the fulfillment of the divine blueprint, or the highest possible,
yes,
that each of us can externalize God, yes, in ourselves.
Yes,
that
that's
is
what
my...
Maitreya calls it, the plan of God, and we have not been doing a very good job of doing the plan of God on our planet, but that is exactly what we're going to adjust and follow that plan.
Well, I second that, and this is my wish for everyone, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Thank you for being here, Wayne.
Thank you
for
Iris.
Listening. God bless you.
Thank you.